Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come to email us at ForgottenFailuresCast@gmail.com or visit ForgottenFailuresCast.com.
Is it true that the police aided the cowboy last night?
Oh, bullshit.
There are rumors that the city has actually hired this man.
Bullshit.
Harry Pascal, it's my interview. Isn't it true that this guy is doing exactly what you want him to do?
Bullshit.
Well, what do you say to the story?
Bullshit.
Is there any truth to the rumor?
Bullshit.
Hi, I'm Mike.
I'm also Mike.
And I'm Lindsay.
And this is Forgotten Failures, the podcast where we find an obscure movie, whether it is out of print on DVD or otherwise obscure, and we watch it and try to discern whether it deserves to be obscure. Okay, and this week's movie was?
Tracks. Two X's, not three.
Yeah. Why would there be three?
Because that's the porno version.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's the version with Vin Diesel in it.
That's the version where Oh, we'll get to that. Okay, so this is a movie, this is the kind of movie I like, the kind of movie that's never been on DVD. We watched it on VHS.
Yeah.
That was fun. The tape almost broke in the middle.
It is on YouTube, though.
The whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing's
all
on YouTube.
82 minutes or whatever?
The entire thing's on YouTube, and then there is a slightly shorter, about 59-minute remix of the movie as well.
But the remix is, it's like 80% of the length of the whole thing?
Yep. And it was made in 2014.
They would have been better just to remake the movie in someone's backyard.
Yeah, they're making all kinds of weird action spoofs nowadays. This would be unnatural for that sort of thing. Yeah, so this is basically an action spoof movie. We keep trying to watch action movies, and we keep ending up with things that have lots and lots of jokes in them and make no sense. Like Hollow Point and now Tracks.
Yeah, this is an action spoof movie. This is about a guy named Trax.
Yeah.
who's a fighter by trade, but a baker by nature.
Yeah, but which is really weird because he's a terrible baker.
Yeah.
It looks like he's never baked a thing in his life.
I think he tries to make cookies, but he doesn't bake them. He
does
make them over a fire. He puts them in a frying pan.
He has no idea what he's doing in the kitchen.
He's making fucking smoothies. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he spent too much time down, you know, in Nicaragua, in the Middle East. Just all over fighting, just fighting everything.
He spent too much time eating tree bark.
Yeah.
And he thinks that they're cookies.
Yeah.
So before the opening, should we go through the plot?
Yeah, you want to do the 30-second break?
Let's do the Mike D break.
Okay.
How
many seconds?
Mike?
I think 30 seconds is enough.
All right. 30 seconds it is.
Let me set the time. All right. Are we ready?
Yes.
Rolling.
Okay. This is a story all about how this guy named Trax got kicked off the police force. Then he got sent to all the. Then he went to all these international war zones. And then he decided to bake cookies. And then he went to a town in Texas where everybody is a criminal. And he decided to clean up the town. And the police chief wants him to help, but the mayor doesn't want him to help. And there's a crime boss who tries to kill him. And they bring up some guys from Mexico to try to kill him. And they don't succeed. And eventually he turns the town into a really nice town by killing everybody.
There we are.
Well done.
That's everything that happened, isn't it?
That is exactly the movie.
Stop, phone.
You stop. It's just started beeping. It's going to keep beeping.
No!
So, yeah, the movie, actually, it opens very abruptly.
Yeah, there's no previews, no trailers, no...
There's just a short HBO, and then it's the movie. There's no opening credits on this movie.
No,
there aren't.
It was a cold open.
You don't even see the logo Tracks anywhere.
No.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you do see the logo Tracks everywhere, but they're on merchandise.
what you see, the opening scene is him getting kicked off the police force for interfering in a stakeout by sneaking into a store on a skateboard and then throwing a gun at a hoodlum so then he can have a chance to shoot him with another gun, which is unethical.
Yeah. After that scene, I thought this movie was going to be pretty kick-ass. There was that whole skateboarding with the Billy Club thing.
Yep.
That was pretty awesome.
Yep.
And then that was basically the high point for me.
That was the only skateboarding with a Billy Club thing, unfortunately, in the entire movie.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, so we had a conversation about whether or not just because a movie is a spoof, it's protected somehow from being good at all.
I would say it's protected from being expected to make sense. You can have random crap in it like this movie did, and that's okay. I mean, look at The Naked Gun. That's a great spoof movie.
But it's
and
a full...
It makes
but
no
it's,
sense.
Yeah,
and
but
it,
it's full
it's
on.
It's full on. It's a full on, like it goes hardcore into just...
Yeah, and you have comedians doing it.
Do you? I mean, O.J.
Leslie
Simpson?
Nielsen.
Yeah.
OJ Simpson's got timing, man.
Yeah.
The woman who played Leslie Nielsen's love interest, she's not funny.
Yeah,
the
only thing that's funny she wasn't about really her supposed to be funny.
Editing and the script of the movie.
All right, before we get into this.
Yeah, we're not talking about the naked gun.
We're going to have a fight. let's talk about Tracks first. What was his name? His name is actually Shadow.
Played by a guy named Shadow Stevens, who was a radio DJ personality, not an actor.
The thing
is, like, if you saw a movie like this, this is just a totally goofy movie starring, like, Sylvester Stallone or something, you'd think, oh, it's a weird random moment in the Sylvester Stallone filmography. But this is the only movie starring Shadow Stevens.
So I think there's a reason for that.
The fact that it's so weird is very odd.
And Shadow looks like, basically looks like if Val Kilmer aged well.
Yeah, he was very odd looking. Maybe not odd looking.
He has a lot of blonde hair.
He had like a Mel Gibson, kind of like the Viggo from the evil guy from Ghostbusters look too.
Well, he has Mel Gibson's smile, and he smiles a lot. He constantly smiles, and he has the hair of Viggo of Carpathia.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a good look as far as like a hero goes.
Yeah. I'm surprised that he was on radio.
Yeah, he does not have a face for radio.
Yeah.
So he's immediately fired, and then there's a montage of what he does after being fired from...
Yeah.
He was a policeman?
I think he was a cop in Los Angeles or
something. Yeah, he was a cop or something.
I thought he was
in that town. He wasn't in the normal town?
No,
he was in a
much bigger city at that
time. Oh, all right.
Yeah, so he's fired, and then he immediately goes
He goes to the three world trouble spots.
To Nicaragua to fight with the rebels, I guess.
I don't know.
to fight. He's just there shooting things. And then... It flashes forward a year, and he is in the Middle East, and then it flashes again to 1987. He's having, like, a leisurely stroll through, like, a bombing zone.
Yeah, his guerrilla war must have just ended at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he and a friend are talking about what's next.
Yeah, that friend was great. He was like a Frenchman.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Nicaragua.
Yeah, he was but with, like, a New York accent.
Yeah, he had a beret. He was talking about how good food is. And they were just walking away from these explosions, and not only were they not looking at them, they weren't even, like, flinching when the explosions happened. Yeah. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, like, tons of it just firebombed to hell, like, down this, like, wooded path.
Yeah.
And they were being bombed, probably within, like, 20 feet, 30 feet.
Yeah, like, imagine...
they were close.
Like, platoon or something, like that style.
Yeah, and they're not even paying attention to it. Just having a nice, leisurely stroll
nice
and conversation.
Stroll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're feeding the ducks.
And so this is when Trax sort of
again, the guy's name is Trax.
He lets us all know of his desire. He wants to bake cookies.
Yes.
He just wants to. That's that is his goal. It's his dream. Mm-hmm. That's what he makes fun of this guy for not having dreams and stuff.
Yeah. And you would assume from that conversation that he A, knows how to make a cookie, and B, what a cookie is.
Yeah.
He doesn't know
either of those answers.
This is like when an 11-year-old decides he suddenly wants to be an archaeologist or something.
Yeah, and he just goes and starts digging holes in the backyard.
Because they show him next in a kitchen that I'm assuming
is
his, but maybe he just killed the family and started
this
using
true.
The
yeah.
kitchen.
Yeah, they cut from El Salvador to somewhere outside Hadleyville, Texas.
Yeah, so he's there, and he's basically using... Mm-hmm. All of the appliances, all of like the ovens, the stove. Using everything all at once, and it's like he's kind of testing a bunch of recipes at once.
Yes,
yeah,
and they're all failing because he's not paying attention to any of them.
Yeah, he's got a blender going with a smoothie in it.
He's got a pink blue smoothie in there. He's got some blue batter. He's got some black batter in a different pot. He's got this greasy piece of paper attached to the refrigerator on which he's listed all of his attempts.
He's putting egg yolks into wet batter, which is just
ridiculous.
Next,
stupid.
Next to one of the recipes, he just wrote ugh. Next to another one, he wrote okay.
Yeah, like something, and everything's going wrong with his recipes, and then it just shows him, because he has a list of like different recipes and things, and he just writes okay next to one of them.
Yeah, and you liked his tool belt, right?
Yeah, I liked his, he had a cooking tool belt with cooking, like he had an oven mitt attachment.
Yeah, I thought that would come in later in the movie, like he'd use that to fight crime, but he didn't.
No,
he's not Blank Man. Come on.
Yeah.
but I think he uses all the ingredients that he has. So he goes into town, into this like quaint, quaint Chicago-esque.
This town is amazing.
Texas town. The town's about two blocks. There's two blocks worth of town. And
just about.
There's only criminals, titty bars.
Liquor stores.
Yeah,
the town is divided into the drug district and
the peep show district.
Yep, that's
and the courthouse district, which takes up most of the town, which includes the gigantic.
It was
a library.
It wasn't a courthouse.
Oh yeah, and what was great?
You went
is
to get a drink at
when
the
we're oh, yeah. when we're introduced to this town. Mm-hmm. There's a scene where it shows kind of like a block, and it's every crime that could possibly be happening all at once. It's like a very sort of Broadway type of scene.
It was like when you're introduced to the city in Dick Tracy or something.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Running Out of Luck fake movie scene that they were shooting.
They probably used the same set.
It probably was the same set.
Or Streets of Fire or something. It's like an idyllic world from like the past of classy types of crime where the criminals were all wearing zoot suits and stuff.
Yeah, it's like a video game. Yeah, it was like Double Dragon or something.
Like someone's breaking into a car on the street and then you can see some burglar on like a second story that's like crawling into like a window. Yeah. It's just it's perfect.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This town's only industries are crime and journalism.
And pussy.
Well, that is a type of crime as Trax explains, because those are the only criminals he actually goes after in his vigilante rampage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, like his first order of business, because when he goes into this town, he realizes like, oh wow, there's so much crime here.
Well, here's the police chief talking on the radio about how they need a town tamer.
That's town tamer.
Is that a phrase?
Yeah.
Because this movie is kind of like Roadhouse. Like it takes place in a town that has nothing in it but crime, for one thing.
Yeah.
And another thing is, like, in Roadhouse, like, there is something called a cooler. You can be a famous cooler, which is like an ultra bouncer.
But
and
a cooler
that's
is a
not
thing.
A real phrase, I don't think. And much like that, town tamer is not a phrase, but they act like it is in this movie.
I have no idea if town tamer or cooler is real.
It's a cool phrase, even though it doesn't exist.
No, I think a cooler... I've heard of the term cooler with, like, mobby sort of CD type stuff.
Really?
I've heard it before, but only in movies, so I could be.
But not
it
as
could just
like,
be a movie term.
Roadhouse made it up, and now it's a thing.
But in Roadhouse, it means like a specific type of bouncer who intervenes before there is violence prevent violence.
He cools stuff down, man.
Yeah.
He's a cooler.
There's also a movie called The Cooler.
That's not about the same kind.
Mitch Hedberg came up with that term. What's he do? He cools things down.
The Cooler, overrated movie, by the way. I did not like Alec Baldwin in that.
So back to Trax.
Roadhouse?
No, Track House.
Oh.
I don't even heard of that movie.
What? Okay. Back to Trax.
So quote the Trax himself, garbage you dump, trash you kill.
Yeah, so he essentially he talks in a really so he goes to town, he finds himself like a right-hand man.
Yeah.
Because there's a man who's walking down the street looking a little bit like a pimp.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a feather in his hat.
He finds the youngest.
Kind of gnomish looking.
Yeah. He finds the youngest, most innocent of the criminals and says, I can redeem this guy. He can be my sidekick.
But he kind of bullies him into being his sidekick.
He
doesn't even give him a choice.
There's no choice.
He kind of holds a gun to him. He's like, I need a sidekick.
He's like cocking his gun.
Yeah.
He's like, think about it.
He's like, I'll get back to you. And he's like, well, all right, you need to let me know now.
So after he secures himself a sidekick, he goes to the police station where the sheriff is leaving for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we see two cops bringing in a large man. And, and this man is not wanting to go.
No.
He's like, he's really...
James. His name was James.
Yeah. The cops know him.
Yeah.
And say, James, you're making this harder than it needs to be.
How do we know his name? We don't even know the chief of police's name.
Yeah. But
they said James like 19
or the
times.
So,
chill out, James.
So essentially, Trax makes an agreement with the sheriff to be this town tamer.
Yeah.
What are you selling then? Armor? Stun gun? Clean streets. Are you in the garbage? Huh?
Trash.
Well, what's the difference?
Garbage you dump. Trash you kill.
Oh. You're a trash killer.
Town tamer. Temporarily. My cookie business is a little undercapitalized right now.
He needs capital for his cookie business.
Yeah.
So he needs the money he needs dough for his dough. And,
yeah, that's what he needs.
And all the while they're negotiating this, you can see the police station in the background, and the policemen are now like hanging out of a window because this James dude has like somehow fought them, and the building's also on fire.
He is in handcuffs.
James
by the way.
Is in handcuffs,
and he's thrown two police over the balcony of the police station.
One of them has a noose.
Yeah,
is hanging. I don't understand. James is like a magician.
He's one of those super predators that resulted from the crack epidemic. Not
super
really.
Super predators.
Speaking of magicians,
Okay, where is this going?
The David Copperfield painting.
Yeah, we're introduced to
the crime boss,
the person who's supposed to be the bad guy in this movie, but I don't believe it.
No, he's not even really. He doesn't really do anything either.
Barely in it.
He's the crime boss.
He just shoots at his team of, I guess, baddies.
He's just trying to get a handy from his wife.
Yeah.
So you know him.
Yeah, you while know him working from, out.
You know him as the bad guy in The Goonies, the bad guy in License to Kill, the bad guy in some other stuff.
General bad guy.
He's generally always a bad guy. And his name is Robert Davi. He was the bad guy in this.
He's a good bad guy. I don't really think they gave him wings to fly.
No.
In this movie. But hold on.
Yeah.
So first order of business after Trax is like, "Hey, I'm going to be the town tamer."
Yeah.
Okay. Next thing we know, Trax goes into a brothel and just shoots the fuck out. No questions. He doesn't try to find out. Like, he's not, like, there for a specific person.
Yeah. He's not like, I'm going to shut this down. He just goes in and starts, like, shooting people.
Yeah. He didn't even hear that, like, oh, hey, there's human trafficking here.
Yeah, all that's a bizarre place to start.
It is in this movie,
like a brothel.
His vigilante campaign is directed almost entirely at brothels and bars.
Working women.
Is, like, people getting drunk.
And strippers.
And what's...
Like, businesses.
I really liked, in the brothel...
You mean Jerome's stud farm?
Yes. In the brothel, he kicks down one door, and it's actually a daycare for all the kids.
The kids of the prostitutes.
Well, it said, like, working mom's daycare or something like that.
And the funny thing was that in the daycare inside the brothel, there was a, like, teacher in there, and she was, like, a very frumpy school marm type.
Yeah,
and it looked very much, like, it was very nice. It looked like a daycare.
Uh-huh.
And the kids seemed healthy and, you know, happy.
Yeah, they were being taken care of.
Yeah, this is gunfire.
Yeah, this brothel, the women are having a, you know, pretty good lifestyle.
And what's awesome is, so there's a bad guy in the little, the kids area.
Oh, he runs in there
to run away
from Trax.
Oh, yeah, he was wearing a hat.
And so Trax somehow shoots him out of a window or something, pushes him out of a window. And then he looks at the kids and he's like, that's what happens when you're bad.
I thought that...
Not terrifying at all.
And this also started the...
I'll shoot you, kids.
The thing that Trax likes to do, which is not really shoot people.
Yeah.
He just likes to shoot guns out of hands.
Yes.
And he shoots objects that are on the bad guys. Like, he shot this guy's belt buckle.
Yeah. Yeah. When he encountered the crime lord's mentally challenged son, he shot off the two ends of the arrow that was going through his head.
Well, I don't think he was mentally challenged. I think he was high as fuck.
Really?
Yeah. Because he came out of a room billowing with smoke.
Yes.
Like, I think every indication was that he was high
as fuck. That's the only time we've ever seen that character. And he was talking
That
like,
was a pointless character.
Hello, good man. How are you?
I think he was so high he thought he was an Indian. Because he had like a war paint on and stuff.
He had a street sign sticker on his arm, too.
I think he was just high as fuck.
I'm with Lindsay.
Okay, so he was not mentally retarded.
No.
He could have been both.
He could have. And he probably was on the lower end of the IQ scale.
Yeah. So one point...
he's kind of like Pauly Shore. He's both. Most Pauly Shore characters, that is.
One point that I'd like to make that really has nothing to do with anything we've talked about is that I think that Trax might be the Russian Terminator.
Oh, gosh.
And this is why. Because he doesn't follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian Terminator doesn't follow the
law. He's a vigilante. None of them follow the law.
He only cares about justice.
He knows nothing about the law. He only knows justice.
Maybe he's the brother.
Maybe he's like the American.
The American Terminator.
The CIA and the KGB hate him, and the people hate him, too.
And regular citizens hate him, too.
The pimps hate him.
So this brothel scene had a lot of, I don't know, funny visual stuff in it. There was that daycare. There was the fact that somehow every room was filled with a different color of light.
Which, by the way, the daycare scene when he's like, this is what happens when you're bad, totally reminded me of, do you remember in Arrested Development, there was that J. Walter Weatherman, the dude that the dad hired to scare the kids.
Yeah, scare
and
then
be like, and that's why you don't, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. And when the guy was holding the kids hostage, he was like, this kid won't live to see. How old are you, kid?
The kid goes 5 1/2, and then the guy thinks about it for a second. He's like, 6.
Yeah. So if you don't follow the law, you'll end up as a dumb burglar who takes a while to perform basic arithmetic.
Yeah, you can't figure out that 6 comes after 5 1/2.
One thing that is really awesome in this movie, and I'm skipping around at this point.
It doesn't matter.
Is so, the mayor's blouses?
Her blouse game was on point.
On point.
On point.
But also...
Yeah, she got blouse like, whoa. But Trax's goal is to have cookies as good as Famous Amos's cookies.
Yes.
And Famous Amos shows up at the end.
I was shocked by this.
Yes,
yeah, we had to check and make sure that it was Famous Amos.
I thought that if there was a real person named Famous Amos, he would have been like... born in like 1880 or something.
Wally Amos.
He kind of looked like I think it was Flip Wilson.
Yeah, or he looked like Morgan Flip Freeman's Wilson. Characters when he was on like educational TV in the 70s.
You
he was just a really jovial guy.
That dude who's saying, "Don't worry, be happy."
Yeah, Bobby McFerrin.
That's who reminded me of.
Yeah, I was shocked to find out that this was the famous Amos.
And then we found out that Wally Amos, aka Famous Amos, is actually a really cool guy.
Yeah, Famous Amos is my new hero.
Yeah.
So there are two types of product placement in this movie. There's Famous Amos, and there's a whole lot of close-ups on the GMC logo on the truck that Trax's, I was going to say boyfriend, partner drives him around in.
Could be.
It's a GMC, and it's a great truck. You can sit on the front and shoot everybody with a machine gun for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Trax has a home, because we saw him making cookies in a home.
It's a shack.
I'm assuming that it has a kitchen, at least.
I feel like he was squatting in that shack.
So
maybe he sold it.
Might have. So he has a home in the beginning of this movie. Well, when this story takes place.
When he starts baking cookies. Yes. He's in a house.
He's in a house. I could be wrong, but his partner that he finds, that he makes, he does not look like a homeless person. No, he's dressed very well. Yeah. He's educated.
He's got a beautiful medallion / tie tack that must have been expensive.
When they meet up, they immediately start living together just in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just hoboing it up.
They're around a campfire.
But the campfire has the best kitchen setup.
Yeah.
They get like a couple of like of those old school stoves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are just as good for making cookies as any other appliance, because
these
cookies are not actually baked.
Speaking of cookies, he only talks about a couple cookies, but I wrote them all down.
Really?
His cookies, this is how bad they are. He wants to make crab cookies.
Oh yeah.
He did make laxative and cough drop cookies.
Correct.
He also made chili con cookies, which is chili flavored cookies.
I think that was part of his plan.
And he also made puppy swirls.
Oh, yeah.
There was some sort of like tuna thing that he was talking about, too.
Yeah, I think there was a tuna cookie. I might have missed that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he...
While we're on the cookies, let's talk about this chili cookie.
Oh, yeah!
Let's talk about this.
That was the most Zucker Brothers top secret airplane-esque moment in the entire movie.
It was very kind of mafia.
So the bad guy
shows up, first of all, in a limo that's being pulled by a bloodhound.
Yeah,
which apparently is how he found Trax.
I don't understand.
He just put it in neutral.
And a dog pulled his car around.
It's not even funny.
And it's just him. This is towards the end. So this is at a point where Trax had visited this bad guy, David Copperfield, the night before and said, "Hey, you got 2 days. Be out of here."
That's Robert Daugherty, but he had a painting of David Copperfield in his office.
Well, actually, it was a painting of him. It just looked like David Copperfield.
So I'm just going to call
him. I thought it was a painting of Pierce Brosnan. And I wonder if Robert Daugherty still has that painting.
Robert Daugherty as Pierce Brosnan in David Copperfield.
So for some reason, this high-level criminal gets...
I'll tell you what he gets. He gets a manicure from four women at once.
But he gets treatment that just normal people don't get from Trax. Because Trax doesn't ever ask questions. Yeah. He just opens fire as soon
as he starts shooting guns out of hands.
He assumes
that
anybody on this particular street is a criminal.
But for this criminal...
Who he knows is the leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the
ringleader. Just like, "Hey, I'm giving you to tomorrow. Hey, you got one more hour. Hey, you got all this
stuff. I'm going to give you an extension."
Yeah, you got an extension on your life. Get out of town, guy.
So I guess...
So he shows up.
Yeah, so he shows up with his dog. He lets the dog go because he doesn't give a shit about the dog.
Yeah, fuck that dog.
The dog just runs off and you don't see it again.
Mm-hmm. It's from the Bloodhound rental service.
Trax is making cookies, as is his wont.
As he is wont to do. Not loathe to do.
Yeah. He is a wonton cookie goddess.
Oh, he should have made wontons.
Yeah.
He's making terrible cookies.
Yeah. So anyway, the David Copperfield bad guy, he starts approaching him like, "Hey, I want to get legit. I want to buy into your cookie business. I want to support you."
Uh-huh.
And Trax is not having it.
Yeah, he was like, "I've got a great marketing strategy. You threaten to kill people if they don't eat your cookies."
Yeah. Eat this cookie. They don't even have to be good. I'll just tell people if they don't like them and they don't buy them.
It's like the
Piranha
Brothers' other operation.
Yeah.
He finally figured out how to convince people to do things by threatening to kill them.
So he tries a cookie, and it's the chili con cookie.
Yeah. And he likes it at first. He's like, "Ooh, this is good." He does have one critique.
He doesn't throw up.
He has a critique of maybe a little less chili.
A little less.
But no big deal. You know, that's constructive criticism.
Then...
And then he goes back to the car. They have a little argument. And Trax tells him no to the deal. No deal. Mm-hmm. And then
he says, "Here's what I think of your cookies."
And then he just starts ripping a fart.
A gigantic
like
fart.
A really long extended one. Fart.
Yep.
And then he lights a cigarette.
A cigar, and the
fart was so powerful that the car blows up.
Yeah. And we just were like, "Why did the car blow up?" Oh, it was because he farted. Well,
he lit the fart on
fire.
Why did
that happen? Oh, because it was a chili cookie.
Yeah.
See, this movie could have worked as a spoof if it hadn't taken like 5 seconds to figure out why that was funny.
Yeah. If it was funny, it could have worked as a spoof.
Like maybe if
it was just cheap jokes.
Like if the fart was like colored, like if it came out in a cloud of like green, like a green cloud, and you could see it was filling the car up, and you're like, "Oh my god!" Yeah.
They need to ratchet. They just needed to ratchet this movie up to like 11.
It needed to be more out there.
They were totally at like at some parts they would go to like a 6, Yeah. But most of the movie was at like a 2.
That's like it was semi-serious.
That was the problem.
The weird thing is the director of this movie has otherwise only made documentaries.
Oh, see?
So there's also...
I have a feeling he got bullied into this movie. They're like, hey, we bought the rights to you. Make this movie or we're going
to
own your life.
You?
Yeah, that's how it works in Hollywood.
Yeah, it's the 80s, man.
Wait.
So so there is a love story. I'm making quotey figures right now in this movie.
That is the worst part of the movie.
The love story is exactly 2 scenes.
Uh-huh.
Because the Trax and this woman that he's involved with only see each other
Who's
twice.
Who's the mayor?
Yeah, she's the mayor.
I guess the mayor,
She was giving a speech.
Yeah, so she's the mayor. The first time she approaches him, she's heard of him, hasn't met him yet.
Uh-huh.
He's in the library. It's closed.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in there, and his right-hand man is outside with a gun.
Yeah, I think he was researching cookies.
Yeah, he was researching cookies.
He's looking through the microfilm or something.
Yeah, he was looking up recipes at the library.
Because that's where all recipes are kept.
Because he couldn't figure it out.
This is the pre-internet era, guys.
The Betty Crocker archive.
This town doesn't have any bookstores, only crime stores.
It's only books on how to rob people.
So she walks in to talk with him. But then immediately starts coming on to him just super fucking strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Just way, like there's one point where she like sits up on the desk in front of him and then moves her legs, like throws one leg over so that she's then sort of straddled, like so she's like spread
like
eagle
Monroe
in front of
the piano.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really like
erotic.
They finally, like she's throwing herself and he seems uninterested the entire time.
Yeah.
But then finally, he becomes interested.
Well, sure.
And so
he's
what
not
happens,
made of stone.
What happens is the table flips, so we don't see anything.
Card catalogs go everywhere.
The entire card catalog is just being shuffled into the air.
It's like the scene from Ghostbusters where the cards are just flying out of the drawers.
They just ruined a whole card catalog.
Yeah, it's one of the scenes where they go behind a table to make love, and then apparently their lovemaking involves throwing random things up in the air.
That's how I have sex. And then the fountain outside the library just shoots off, you know, as a little innuendo there.
Suggestive.
It was very symbolic. Yeah, so at this point I thought the mayor was in league with the crime lords, and she was trying to distract him from his vigilante campaign.
She was just really turned on.
That would be too smart for this movie.
Yeah, that's right. She just found him irresistible.
Well, part of her reasoning was that since she's an elected official,
she
can't have sex with voters.
Yeah. A mayor cannot fornicate with her constituency.
What kind of America is this?
Yeah, seriously.
What? Come on. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
But, that's ridiculous.
So there's a love story. There's a second time that they meet up, and it's in a grocery store.
When he's buying baking goods.
Yeah. And again, his sidekick is sitting outside the grocery store preventing anyone from coming in while Trax is in there.
Yeah. The grocery store is completely empty.
Yeah.
Like, half the lights aren't even on.
Yeah,
it's broad daylight. But she comes into the grocery store to nail him again, and she tries. But then the baddies show up, which I don't even think we've gotten into the three dudes who are
baddies. That deserves its own little section.
Yeah. So so those are the two scenes where there's a love interest. She also pops up in the end when they're having like this end concert celebration, and she invites everybody to try Trax's cookies, but makes it very sexual. Like, she's rubbing on the mic in a suggestive way.
Saying, like, you need to grab those cookies.
And what's great is they then they pan out to, like, audience members, and it's just ladies. And, like, you get it in their faces.
Yeah.
They understand exactly what she means.
They're like, I want some of them cookies.
And then they pan to the neon sign for the Snacks by Trax business.
Yeah. Snacks by Trax.
But, yeah, so essentially the love story is... There's not even sex in it. Like, you don't really...
She acts like she's having sex, but she and he are both fully clothed.
Yeah, she was like climaxing by just dry humping him in the grocery store.
I think that they were trying to do that Naked Gun thing. Those naked...
Yeah, like the Hot Shots
type
of deal.
Yeah, they were trying to do that, but it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, if she did what that lady did in Splitting Errors, probably would have worked.
Barbara Hershey?
Yeah.
With Jordan Almond between her fingers?
They were pills.
Okay, whatever.
So,
she was eating a lot of pills. Yes. But the mayor also appears during these press conferences with the police chief.
Which
was
an awesome part.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite. The whole bullshit press conference was great.
Yeah, you see the journalists, of whom these are the only people in the town aside from criminals, the 15 journalists who are constantly showing up at press conferences and drilling the police chief with all these questions. Grilling, not drilling. During the first sequence... the police chief just says, okay, we're investigating it, we're investigating it, But then during the second press conference, he has just had it with all these do-gooder, journalists who think they could do his job better than he can. So what word does he answer every question with?
Bullshit.
Yeah. What are you doing about this vigilante, Mr. Police Chief?
Bullshit.
Do you approve of his methods?
Bullshit.
Do you think it's a good idea to have everybody living in terror?
Bullshit.
Yeah, the... the sheriff.
Oh, and then Trax also shows up in disguise.
Trax shows up as
a journalist.
Yeah.
And I forget what he asks.
He throws him a softball question.
Yeah, and he hits it out of the park. Is the only answer he actually answers. Or the only question he actually answers. Yes. I forget what it was.
It's another spoof of vigilante theorizing.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, if it comes down to either killing these guys or putting them in jail and giving them 3 square meals a day and letting them watch movies... I think it's very refreshing to see somebody killing these guys.
Yeah.
And everybody sort of erupts into applause.
Yeah, the journalists are the only people in the room, so I guess they're applauding.
Yeah. And I think this is what actually sparked the mayor's like for Trax.
Like?
Because after that, he passes a note to her or something.
Oh,
and
that's what that was.
Okay. That starts off the whole romantic
And I guess she does see him
endeavor.
Later that night, because she's wearing the same dress. And the whole, the reason why they're having this press conference, we're jumping around a lot. But, so the first thing, after Trax.
That's okay.
After Trax,
if he commits his first vigilante rampage.
After
of
he
murder.
Makes that brothel right, he writes that brothel, and then he the next day, I'm assuming, goes out. He has his right hand man drive his truck. He's sitting on the front on the hood of his truck,
his GMC truck.
It's broad daylight.
Yeah,
and he just opens fire on the street.
Yeah, and just normal looking people.
On everybody.
Yeah,
he shoots it. Everybody.
Yep.
It's like the kind of thing a bad guy does in a Rambo movie.
Yeah.
He's like, throughout the village, he's just, you know, creating an empire of fear. Nobody knows when they might get shot by this guy.
Yeah, he's just, it's, the thing is, there aren't any bad guys. Like, even the bad guys aren't as bad as the good guy in this movie.
And he hangs them from lampposts.
That's the thing. That's why they're having this conference.
That was like a Night of Living Dead style.
Yeah,
like, it was just like.
There's a really creepy scene.
It was like in The Pink Angels.
Yeah, there's a creepy scene where, there are some garbage men that are driving down the street.
Yeah.
And all they see is just bodies and people hanging from posts with like signs on them that say like what they did wrong.
Like, I was a murderer. Yeah. I was a drug dealer.
Yeah. I molested children.
Yeah. Which is fine if you're killing those people, but to hang it out like that, that was pretty crazy.
It was very, very Games of Thronesy.
Yeah. And then the garbage men,
like
look.
Those Games of Thrones shows.
Yeah. And then the garbage men are looking like, what is this? Oh my gosh. And then all of a sudden they just start bust out laughing.
Yeah, they thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, they're like, hey, look at all the trash.
Yeah.
At first I thought those garbage men were the Mexican guys.
Yeah.
All right, let's segue into the Mexican guys. So it turns out they're not Mexican
at all.
They were exiled to Mexico, but we had thought that they were Mexican.
Yeah, Robert Davi orders his underlings to go get these guys from Mexico to do his dirty work.
Yeah, apparently they're the biggest and baddest hitmen, I guess, is what you would call them.
The bad guy's plan to get rid of Trax is to double down on badness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they haven't killed him yet. They don't want to be good, so they're just going to get the worst people that they can find.
Yeah. Solid plan.
So they go to Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because after his original plan to get his underlings to kill Trax, somehow his underlings all end up with bandages all over their bodies.
Yeah, Carmen Sandiego was there again.
Yep.
She made an appearance again.
Somehow Carmen Sandiego and Hacksaw Jim Duggan were both in this movie and Russian Terminator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Further proving the point that this is the American Terminator.
This is the
American Terminator. Yeah, so his... Yeah. So Robert Davi's right-hand man, who's a kind of a nerdlinger type, he was like the Philip Seymour Hoffman character in The Big Lebowski.
John, what's his name? John Hodgman?
Yeah, that's kind of a John Hodgman type.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's an accountant type.
Yeah, so he sends his accountant guy down to Mexico to pick up the 3 Guzik brothers.
Guziks, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Who are kind of like Cheech, Chong, and Chong if all 3 of them were murderers.
Basically. Like, they we see them first. They're singing Wantanamera.
Yeah. More wontons, yeah.
More wontons.
And they're singing it in like a Mexican accent.
They said, we thought they were
Mexicans.
Yeah, because they went down to Mexico, they like looked like they could be Hispanic.
Yeah, and they're talking like that.
Yeah.
And then they get to the border crossing. And David Duchovny / Walker Texas Rangers working it.
Yep.
He really looked like David Duchovny.
Yeah,
really did.
Yes, like ridiculously.
Yeah.
So they get there and they're like, hey, can we go? And he basically just waves them through like there's no problem.
The border crossing is just David Duchovny and a woman selling burritos.
Yeah, and a burrito stand.
Yes.
And they look like she had a gigantic plate of burritos. She's like, hey, burritos, guys?
Yeah.
And then they... What? Yeah. So he... This David Duchovny,
the border guard,
he just passes them, doesn't really even look at the car,
lifts
up the little arm.
The world's easiest Mexico border.
And this woman's like, oh, hey, you want some burritos? And one of the guys stands up out of the sunroof and is like, hey, look down, look in the window.
Yeah.
So David Duchovny, officer, looks in the window, they roll it down, and the dude has dynamite.
Dynamite?
Yeah, yes. A Looney Tunes style stick of dynamite.
Yeah,
yeah.
Straight from Acme. Mm-hmm. and hands it over to David Duchovny officer.
Yeah.
And David Duchovny officer immediately throws it right into the burrito stand.
Yeah.
Again, the timing on this was and totally off.
Yeah, and doesn't even like say, hey, burrito lady, watch out.
Yeah,
it's all desert.
Yeah.
And then the
he could
burrito
have thrown
stand.
It in any other direction.
And he could have thrown it anywhere yep. in the desert.
Nope. He wants to ruin the burrito
and
stand.
And you know what? It doesn't really matter because the explosion is, no matter how far he could have thrown it, there's no, like, there was still going to be damage.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, this
was
a screen, those burritos are ruined.
This is a screen filling explosion. There was so much gas in that burrito stand. It was almost like a fart car.
So much gas. That's what was going on back there.
Yeah, probably.
Just farting in all the burritos.
Oh, they're using gas to cook the burritos. You know, propane, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're Dutch burritos.
Yeah, so the
she's got a Dutch oven back there.
It's Mexican, not Dutch. Come on.
Hey, man.
Yeah, so the three evil
never
brothers.
Heard of Dutch burritos?
No.
Yeah, so the three bad brothers you know so well show up in Robert Davi's headquarters, and he starts giving them orders on how to kill Trax.
Well, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We see these three brothers. They're on a long drive, which makes sense
they're
to Texas.
They're going from Mexico to, well, Hadleyville, Texas.
I don't know.
So yeah, we don't know where Hadleyville
so
is.
So this drive.
Could be near Amarillo.
This entire drive that we see them, every time we have a scene with them, like we learn that they are just pure anarchists.
Yeah, they just wreak havoc everywhere.
They don't care about shit. Yeah. Like they're not doing evil things for a purpose. Like there's
yeah,
no,
they just want to do evil things. They're just yeah. evil people.
There's a scene where they're slowed down because of a bunch of bikers.
Yeah, critical mass is in the neighborhood.
Yeah. So they're
blocking the entire road.
They're slowed down by bikers and they get to a point where they can pass. And so they drive up and to show these bikers who's boss, they get out their bats.
Yes.
And just bat these bikers down.
And these are bicyclics.
Bicyclics.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Bicyclics.
Or bicyclics.
They're bicyclics.
These are basilisks. They are reptilian mythological creatures. And so the basilisks don't kill them by looking at them in the eyes. They have to hit them with baseball bats.
Yeah.
Just so like it says in the field guide to basilisks. Yes.
Bicycles.
Yeah. Bison.
Like they're bicycles. Passing these...
bison sickles. Frozen bison.
They're passing these cyclists. While the cyclists are on, yeah. like, they're on the edge of, like, this hill... Essentially,
yeah.
So they have nowhere to go. They're on the side of the road, and then right next to the road is this gigantic hill.
Yeah.
So they get all of them except for the one that's in the lead. Yeah, they miss him. Then they're like, oh shit. Oh, never mind. I have a gun.
And just
like,
shoot
pop them.
But these guys should be lucky that only one of them got shot, and the rest of them just got hit in the head with pieces of wood.
Yeah. Which is also kind of blew my mind. Like if someone behind me got hit with a bat, I'm pretty sure I would hear it, and I would be like, hey, I'm gonna.
Get
steer
out.
Away from this road a little bit.
Yeah, they weren't even wearing
and
bicycle helmets.
They spend the entire time torturing the nerd guy, the accountant guy.
They challenge him with a song called
Old MacDonald.
Old MacDonald Had a Farm.
Yep.
A song called Old MacDonald.
I'm trying to think of it. Was the E-I-E-I-O song. What's
yeah,
that
yeah,
called?
Yeah.
They start shouting out. It starts easy enough with your normal
they do pig and he does
it's
the
like
oink
schoolyard,
oink
schoolyard bullying. You challenge this guy into a thing where he has no right answer.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's basically what they did.
Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. And on his farm he had a chicken. E-I-E-I-O. With a cluck cluck here. Cluck cluck there. Cluck cluck everywhere. Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O. And on his farm he had a gazelle. E-I-E-I-O with a... Gazelle ain't got no voice box.
And then the next one is marsupials.
Marsupials.
They just state marsupials as though that covers a wide range of animals.
Yeah.
There's not just one sound.
Marsupial.
Much like there's not just one Australian wombat in Airborne. There's not just one marsupial.
Yeah, so these
in fact, the wombat is a marsupial.
Yeah.
These bad guys are set up as like the ultimate bad guys, but really there's not much that they do in the movie. They come back and
they go into a bar and kill everybody in the bar. But
yeah, they were sent.
Nobody told them to do that.
They're
just psychopaths.
Yeah, they were exiled to Mexico because they killed a Little League team. Is that
they killed a Little League or they yeah they, for shaving points on
yeah,
the game that
after
they
a point
bet
shaving
on.
Scandal yeah
yes.
That's right.
So what they do at this point is they kidnap a Little League team. They have an obsession with Little League.
Yeah, I don't know what their deal is.
I don't think Robert Davi told them to kidnap the police Little League team, but
no,
that's what they did.
In fact, Robert Davi Copperfield he was telling them specifically, I need tracks like cut up and put them. And then the bad guys are like, yeah, they're telling us how to do our job.
Yeah. Would you tell David Hockney how to paint?
Yeah. The most bizarre reference.
Yeah. Why choose that of all painters?
They got
why choose my mom's
that?
Favorite painter, David Hockney, yeah. of the California swimming pool paintings?
He said something about like a, would you tell someone how to choreograph?
Would you tell Baryshnikov how to toe dance? I think he said.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were very offended this guy who hired them would tell them what he wanted them to do.
So they went rogue. But they were basically going rogue originally.
Yeah. So they went rogue.
They were never following his orders at any point.
Yeah. I don't think you can go rogue when you're already rogue.
Yeah.
You know?
That sounds like a tagline. Can you go rogue when you're already rogue?
Rogue's rogue.
Roger.
Roger.
Liam Neeson is.
I think we just wrote a movie.
Yeah. Roger.
Roger.
It takes place at a Kroger's.
Yeah. Instead of baking cookies, he tries to make yogurt.
Roger's yogurt.
Kroger's Roger's yogurt. Starring Roger Hauer.
So the way that these bad brothers
the three bad brothers you know so well.
Yeah, these three bad brothers, they decide to get Trax's goat by kidnapping this little league team, strapping them to a Cadillac.
Yes.
Like the kids line the Cadillac.
It's like 10 kids, they're all in a circle strapped around the Cadillac, like with a single rope attached to
each other. Yeah, and it's not even like
somewhere.
Tied to them, it's kind of just like loosely around them.
It's just around.
It's bizarre.
It's
this is not a car with a running board, so I don't know where they're standing.
Yeah, they were standing, it looked like there was some sort of platform, but there's not a car that car doesn't have that normally.
No, they probably fixed some sort of weird float system. Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows?
They have, I guess, protection from all these kids. Trax still shoots at them with these kids. Like, Trax doesn't care.
Trax don't care.
He doesn't know anything about the law. He just knows justice.
Yeah.
So suddenly Robert Davi, the bad guy, is no longer relevant. It's now just all about getting the kids back who have been kidnapped for absolutely no reason.
Yeah.
So Trax does free them, but he frees them in the dumbest way possible.
Yeah, dumbest. There was a wheelie.
That still puts them in danger.
Yeah. That's true.
So they
have them tied up outside of the...
Drunks are us.
Drunks are us. Yes.
Yeah, they're lined up. They're lined up with like a rope around all their waists.
I think
like
it's the same
like
rope.
When a daycare goes on a walk.
Yeah.
They just have them tied up, and Trax shows up, but he's like a couple flights up on like a fire escape.
Yeah, he's pulling like a Batman.
Yeah.
He's like hanging on the roof.
And there's no one around these kids. Like, there's no one supervising these kids. They're just standing there by themselves, but tied up. And so Trax then shoots the rope from a couple stories up.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't go down and like cut it or like untie it
or have his little partner do that or something.
He's good at shooting.
Yeah, I guess.
But the kids are happy about it. The kids escape.
Yeah.
Yeah, they stare up worshipfully at him after every shot that could have bounced and ricocheted and
The other crazy thing is he's shooting and no one comes outside to be like, "Hey, is someone taking these kids?"
No. "Hey, what are you doing? You crazy man. You're shooting at my street."
So, it's that kind of a town.
So I think that Trax was at the Drunks R Us before.
That's right. There was a bar called The Drunks R Us. We didn't mention that before. Great name for a bar.
He was there before when he was cleaning up. He was doing his initial cleanup, the initial push.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clean up aisle crime.
So he wasn't there before, and he did this thing where he was just toying with everybody. He just came in shooting because they didn't immediately pay attention to him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he shot at them, and then once they were all sufficiently scared, he said, "All of the bad guys to one side of the room, all of the good guys to the other side of the
scum.
Room."
Scum. He said like good scum. Guys on the
like
side.
Decent citizens or scum.
That's
right. Scum.
And so everybody crowds to one side.
Yeah.
Obviously, in that situation, you're a
you
want to
be
citizen.
On the good guy.
Yeah. And so then he's like, "Oh, I didn't realize all of you were scum." And so then they all run to the other side of the room.
Yeah. What a jerk.
And then he's like, "You can't all be good guys." And so everybody starts arguing with each other. And there's like a pimp arguing with like a woman. So anyway.
So this guy's basically Mel Gibson, like in the movie Mel Gibson made in The Simpsons.
Yeah. But then.
but he's also toying with these people in such a. Like vindictive petty way.
And once they're all arguing and whatever, he's like, get out of here. Don't come back. Don't ever come back.
Don't come back
place.
Or I'll kill you.
Yeah. And then they all form into
a line.
For
just being in a titty bar.
Yeah. They all form into a line. It's just a titty bar. Yeah. That's it. It's just like a titty bar. That's all it is.
It's a crime bar. If you're in there, you're criming.
And so there a line forms to exit and he's shaking all their hands as they leave.
Yeah.
And he's like, "You know, have a nice day. Don't come in again or I'll kill you."
Yeah.
And to everybody. And it kind of reminded me of that David Spade sketch
from
SNL.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm going to kill you. Bye-bye. I'm going
to
kill you.
Forgot to mention that there's like a photo op there. He takes a picture in front of all the criminals.
Yeah.
For his, promotional use,
yeah,
I guess.
He does a lot of merchandising.
Yeah, he's all about merchandising.
Yeah, his right-hand man is educated as a businessman. Yeah.
He does?
Yeah.
He has a degree?
Yeah, he had an associate's degree, I think is what he said.
He mentions that in the very beginning.
That guy was great too. Yeah. It was like in Die Hard, if John McClane had continued hanging out with that limo driver guy for the entire movie,
instead of
just leaving him in the basement the whole time.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that dynamic.
Yeah, he was cool, and he got Trax to wear a shirt that had Trax on it and said Trax on it.
Yeah,
because he understood the value of a brand.
Yeah,
understood the value of
the
branding.
People need to know the name and the face of the of the guy that's cleaning up
and
the streets.
He seems to sell a lot of merchandise.
Yeah,
so.
They had boots up all over the place.
Yeah, boots upside your head. But did he also get Trax to wear those incredibly skinny leather suspenders?
I think
he was wearing suspenders with a belt, which kind of throws me for a loop.
And the thing is, his pants were incredibly high. Like, he chose to wear...
They were Roadhouse pants, so he can get high kicks, but he didn't even kick.
No.
No, he didn't. He just shot with a gun.
No, he wasn't a physical, hero.
No.
At all. He just liked to shoot things.
Yeah.
And then make cookies.
And make cookies.
That I don't think he even ever ate one himself. I think he just liked making them.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I didn't
understand. Yeah, you never saw him eating any cookies. He just gave them to other people and said, this is disgusting.
Well,
enjoy.
Because most of the time he just lit them on fire and he just threw them into the woods.
A lot of his cookies caught on fire.
I've never seen that happen in my life.
He took them out of the oven and they were all flaming.
Yeah,
just
like high flames.
Fire. Yeah,
it's like you put them underneath the burner.
I think
the only type of fire that could happen from that is if you were to put lighter fluid on it and throw a match.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was are these just those little the starting bricks? Little.
That's what you use to start the fires.
Yeah. Like one of those camping.
Yeah, I know. That's a little fire starter thing.
Maybe he tried to make cookies and he thought those were cookies. And
maybe.
He tried to bake them. Yeah. Like, he didn't know. He knew nothing about housekeeping or
anything.
Anything.
He knows nothing except for killing.
Shooting, specifically.
Yeah. Shooting.
He knows how to shoot people.
Yeah. And smiling and having wind-blown hair.
Oh, yeah. He's always looking at his hair in the mirror.
Oh, and also dialogue and rhyme.
Yes. there's a criminal moment.
There's an awesome poetic moment in this movie where there's some criminal elements.
Drug dealers.
There are some drug dealers. They're weighing out drugs or doing something with drugs. And they're in...
a third story.
Yeah, third story
apartment
building.
Or something like that.
And all of a sudden, there's a brick that gets thrown in that says, "This is a bomb," and it has a little
It has a fuse. It's a white box.
Yeah, it just says, "This is a bomb" on it, which fine.
Right.
And they think it's just all jokes. They think some dude Harold.
Yeah, some dude Harold.
Yeah.
Harold, what you doing, man?
Yeah. So, so the big baddie criminal looks out the window. He's like, "Harold, what you doing?" Blah 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 blah. And so it's Trax down there though. It's not Harold.
Yep.
And Trax. Okay.
What was Trax's exchange?
You got about 3 seconds to learn to fly. And the bad guy criminal says, "You got 3 seconds before you die." And then Trax replies with, "Well, flap your wings and kiss the sky."
Yeah. In a very Happy Gilmore rhyming moment.
It was incredibly Happy Gilmore.
And then the three rooms of the apartment each blow up sequentially.
Yeah.
Even though there's only one bomb.
Yes.
Yeah. There's so much
you
stuff.
You didn't know coke
up.
Ignites like bombs when it blows up?
Basically.
Oh.
That's the physics of cocaine.
Yeah, it was cut with lighter fluid.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was his cookies in there.
And they all had a bunch of burritos before
that. Burrito bomb!
It was a pretty bad sitch in there.
So at the end, the kids are being held hostage or something, and
then
there's
a
car chase through some old tobacco warehouses, and then...
He pops a wheelie.
Yeah.
He does pop a wheelie in
a truck. Pops a wheelie in his GMC truck.
Which is unpossible.
Which is the...
Unpoppable? I think that wheelie was poppable.
Yeah.
Which was the second time someone popped a high one in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
True.
The first time... is of note.
Yeah.
Because, David Copperfield, bad guy, he's getting a handy from his wife.
While doing, arm curls.
Yeah,
they're in bed.
He's got, 2.5 pound weights, and he's doing curls.
Yeah, and she's giving him a handy out of the covers while she's, reading a magazine.
Which it took a little bit to figure out, because no one was really into it, and he was doing arm stuff. And what the hell's going on?
Yeah, they were both doing their own thing, but also doing this hand job thing.
Yeah.
And then Trax busts through
little side hand job.
And then Trax breaks through the cardboard wall on his motorcycle.
Yeah, he interrupts and talks about the sanctity of marriage.
I don't know how he knew that was his wife, because she wasn't even in the other scene where the crime lord
he actually
was
does
with all
something
these other girls.
Where he talks to them before he shoots them. He doesn't even shoot.
This is the only guy he really talks to.
Yeah,
instead of just shooting.
So he says, put him up. Track says, put him up to the wife and the bad guy. And so they put their hands up.
And then he says, higher.
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 And he kept saying, up.
And then the dude's up. Boner starts coming up. You can see it under tenting. The blanket. He starts tenting hard. Because it's just some person's arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like this, a fist.
This dong is like almost up to his chin at this point.
You don't
point.
Think that was Robert Davi's actual boner?
Well, see, here's the thing that was confusing to me. And maybe it's just because the wife is not good at giving hand jobs. Maybe it was a sad hand job.
Maybe.
Because when she's doing her hand job thing, it doesn't go even near as high as it does when it's going up on its own.
Yes.
So he pops a super high one for Trax, and it won't even pop for his wife. And then he does his wife afterwards because he's finally hard, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, he says, roll over or I'll kill you.
Yeah.
Because he has this funny quirk where he's always threatening to kill people.
That's his thing.
So
he wants to kill people, and he's a penny pincher.
Yeah, and so he leaves the room. Well, Trax, you know what? The penny pincher thing is hilarious because during his first meeting with all the bad guys incorporated, he talks about the figures because they're just selling like cocaine.
Yeah, or whatever.
It's all drugs.
Dime bags.
And he's talking about the figures. It's like $2,585,607.80.
Yeah. It's like,
why would you have 80 cents?
Cutting deals with crackheads.
Whole dollar amounts. Whole dollar amount.
Take out taxes.
Yeah, so...
I mean, I think the mayor was in on the take here. The police chief wanted to get rid of the bad guys.
I think you're giving that script way too much credit, man.
Yeah, you really are.
I just think there must be some explanation for this. It must hold up somehow in a court of logic law.
So
at the end, Robert Davi explodes because... No, he doesn't explode. The bad guys explode because they're unable to throw a stick of dynamite out of their car for some reason.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, right? It doesn't matter.
And then the explosions
it ends, and then there's
fireworks.
A big fair. They're having a carnival thing.
Oh, yeah. There's the one really awesome shot. There's a really awesome shot in this movie where
it's at the very end.
Looks like a crane because there's like a street festival and there's a...
it's the opening of Track Snacks. Snacks Track.
Yeah, and it's the Hadleyville Centennial. The mayor gives a really stupid speech.
Yeah. And so you see this shot. It looks like a crane shot where it's coming down and on the crowd and everything. And then you realize because it comes down and then
starts
you realize you're on a Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
Because you see like a little Ferris wheel thing, which is really cool. Yeah,
super cool shot.
The camera's going down and backwards because it's on a Ferris
wheel.
But
then they decide, could have just ended it there. Keep going two full revolutions.
Yeah.
On a Ferris wheel, which is not a fun camera shot once you're on.
Once you get past knowing that it's a Ferris wheel, you're like, yep, I'm over it.
And that's how they extended the movie to a whopping 84 minutes.
Yeah, they just needed some B-roll.
I will say that there wasn't a whole lot of fluff in this movie.
It got to the point.
There wasn't a lot of wasted time.
I respect that at least.
Yeah, but it was just weird.
It was very silly.
It was very surface. Everything was... There was no depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
And all the surfaces were not attractive.
Covered with dust?
Yeah. Or
doughy?
They were not
a bad surface?
They were not attended to, for sure. It was just like someone had a house and it's filled it all with plywood surfaces. That's what this movie was.
It was just prop houses.
But there were a lot of funny background things, like signs in the background, names of businesses.
Yeah.
Like at one of the porno places.
It's one of these things that if it was made now as a web series in 3-minute chunks.
Yeah.
Like MacGruber was really funny as a Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah.
MacGruber
as
a movie was not that funny. It just went on too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
did like how one of the strip clubs was called Hot Porno Sex,
yeah.
I think.
It's funny because I think if this was in smaller chunks, once every couple of weeks, it would be like, hey, remember that Trax guy? He was funny.
Yeah, one more thing. What did you think of the music?
The title track was awesome. It had an opening theme song.
Yeah, a song
was,
about Trax.
About Trax, which is just awesome.
It rhymed the word Trax with every possible word that rhymes
maniacs.
With Trax.
Yeah.
I forget what else there was.
Probably sex.
Probably.
Axe. Cracks. Facts.
Cookies.
Yeah, probably cookies.
No, wait. There was the song
snacks.
Victorious,
yeah.
Which I think the mayor was actually singing.
Is that what that was going on? I remember seeing her dance, that's for sure.
I don't know.
She was up on stage.
It was a lot of arm.
So they were victorious over evil. So for the entire movie, the time was nothing but criminals, but then suddenly, nice people show up. They start watering their lawns. They start playing catch.
There's a montage that shows just how good of a job Trax is doing at turning the town around, because it cuts between Trax and his sidekick friend dancing in different places, two different places.
Like a choreographed dance, too. Like they're doing the same moves.
Yeah, I think like his Trax's friend is showing him dance moves.
Yeah.
So it's him and Trax dancing, and then like little kids painting murals over the graffiti and putting up like, just making the town nice and all the kids doing nice things for the old people. I guess because they don't want this insane man to run through their streets again and just open fire. we'll do what you want, Trax.
Leave us alone, Trax. Yeah.
We'll do whatever you say, Trax. Dad will stop his crime business.
Trax is like that, a medieval dragon that that lives outside of town.
Feed him like the Virgin every now and again.
Yeah, people just know about him and know that he'll just come in and just fuck shit up. Yeah.
Do you think that Smaug sees himself as a vigilante? Because like that town in the
I guess he kind
of
is.
That town, Lake Town, is like it's probably full of crime, because it's like a town with sailors always showing up, and there's definitely an underworld there. And Smaug just sees himself as wiping out all the bad people, but like Trax, he also wipes out all the good people.
Yeah. I mean, they're bad people sometimes. To Smaug, so
yeah. You win some, you lose some.
So that's Trax for you.
All right. You want to rate this movie?
No.
Sure.
All right.
This one for me goes below Splitting Heirs and above Martians Go Home.
Okay.
Which makes it...
I think we've got all the comedies kind of lumped in there together.
Yeah, it makes it ninth on my list out of 11. So,
damn.
Yeah.
Well, it's
yeah.
out of 12 now.
Out of 12, I guess.
Whatevs.
Yeah, similarly, I've got it 8th out of 12. It's just behind Russian Terminator. It's but you know, it's better than Martians Go Home.
You rated Russian Terminator way lower than any of us did.
Yeah, he did.
I think you guys just like Russian Terminator because of the hilarious accents. That's it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not above admitting
that. It was entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah. I still quote Russian Terminator on like a weekly basis. So its longevity's proved.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick this movie at the bottom of my list.
No way.
Yeah.
All the way?
Yeah, cuz literally I was trying to put it above The Quest, but I think I would rather watch The Quest again before I watch this again. And that was my deciding factor.
Well, to be fair, you didn't see Frozen Assets.
I didn't see Frozen Assets or Martians Go Home.
No, I don't know. Frozen Assets is fairly highly placed on my list and on Daryl's list.
I'm just saying.
But
I had one more comment that I forgot to mention. Yeah. That this movie was like Pootie Tang.
Yeah.
If it was made with non-comedic actors that had really bad timing.
That's right. Yeah. Robert Davi is a lot like the Robert Vaughn character.
Yeah, there's
movie.
A very, very similar like vigilante, and just the absurdness of it is very similar.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's a vigilante. He has these weird powers.
Yeah, but at the same time, Pootie Tang was funny, and it was meant to be funny with timing and comedy.
It was written well.
I wouldn't say it had good timing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was directed by Louis C.K.
I was going to say, I don't think Louis C.K. was involved in Trax.
This is true.
I have a feeling.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, that's why I thought the mayor was like trying to seduce Trax to get him to stop hurting the criminals, because that's what the woman does in Pootie Tang, you know, Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah.
She takes away Pootie Tang's powers. I thought she was going to take away Trax's magic egg beater or whatever.
What
rendering him powerless.
What Trax needs is its own version of Biggie Shorty.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That is what it was missing.
Yeah.
Remember, ever see you again, and you're dead. Good night. Come back again, and you're dead. Good night. Good night, come back again, and I kill you. Good night, drive carefully. You're gone. Don't come back ever. Okay, I trust you. Good, good. Don't ever, ever come back. Good night. Good night. Come back again, and you're dead. Good night. Good night. Yeah, don't ever. You especially. Don't ever come back.